everybody. It is John Gibson. It is the 31st of July. We're about to enter August tomorrow. And, I hate it. I love summer so much. And, you know, when we hit August, I know it's coming to an end. Next thing you know, it'll be September, and then we get in October, and then it's a presidential race. And then along about election day, we go back to standard time, and it's dark at 5 o'clock. Just hate it. Update on COVID, because we need updates on COVID. Dr. Fauci testifying before House committee today.
We hope that as the time we get into the late fall and early winter, we will have, in fact, a vaccine that we can say would be safe and effective. One can never guarantee the safety or effectiveness unless you do the trial. But we are cautiously optimistic that this will be successful.
Yeah, now the federal government entered another contract with two drug makers today for, I think, $2.1 billion, maybe 2.6, I don't remember, to produce zillions of the vaccines that they have developed. So that's going along. And, you know, there's all this talk about, Trump and Fauci are having fights. Trump and Fauci don't agree. Trump is hijacking the science. Fauci doesn't agree with Trump. You people out there, you're being deprived of the expertise of Dr. Anthony Fauci by this thug president.
Were you involved in working with President Trump on deciding to ban flights from China?
Yes, sir. I was.
Do you agree with that decision?
I do.
Do you think that decision saved lives, Dr. Fauci?
Yes, I do.
Do you agree with the decision when ultimately we saw spread in Europe and then the president recommended that we extend that to Europe? Did you participate in that discussion?
I was actively involved in that discussion, sir.
Do you agree with that decision?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that decision saved lives?
Yes, I do.
Mm. Eventually, then we saw the United Kingdom have an outbreak and there had to be a tough decision made. Do we extend that to the United Kingdom? Were you part of that decision?
I was.
And do you agree with that decision as well?
I do.
Did that decision save lives?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Well, all right. That's Steve Scalise, excellent questioner. And then there's stuff, you know, this woman, her name is Simone Gold. She's a doctor, emergency room doctor someplace. I'm sorry, I don't know where. She appeared with other doctors in their white lab coats in front of the U.S. Supreme Court to make a statement about their experience with hydroxychloroquine. The statement she made that, you know, hydroxychloroquine works in certain patients in certain situations went viral, and then the platforms, Twitter and Facebook, took it down and canceled her accounts and banned her. And then the hospital she worked for fired her for creating an embarrassment. What's the embarrassment? It's saying hydroxychloroquine works when the preferred narrative is shut up about hydroxychloroquine. The president proposes people use it, and we're against the president.
We put together a white paper that has all the science. It's utterly irrefutable that hydroxychloroquine is safe. That's without question. And there's tons and tons of studies to show now that it's quite efficacious. You have to kind of wonder why we're still talking about an FDA-approved medication. It's been around for 65 years. It's been around since long before George Washington, who gave it to his troops. Why are we still discussing it? It's a little bit strange.
Yeah, I didn't know that. George Washington gave it to his troops. I'd like a little more on that. Okay, so there we are on the virus today. You know, it's over 150,000 deaths. I think the CDC on their front page of the website says the average age of coronavirus deaths is 78. Kind of sounding like, you know, maybe the two guys running for president and me and some others, we're the ones that got the big problem. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with baseball. I mean, it seems pretty shaky at the moment. And the NFL, I don't know how they're going to do that. And the NBA, they all knelt for the national anthem, players and coaches, in the game last night. Lakers versus Clippers, I think. And they all had their – the NBA, Adam Silver in his brilliance – gave players a choice of 29 different things they could have put on the back of their jerseys instead of their names, you know, like Black Lives Matter, and hands up, don't shoot, that sort of thing. And, you know, and they played the game, and I must say, I'm just not going to watch. Along those lines, you know, in Ferguson or St. Louis County, I think is what it is. St. Louis County, there was a white prosecutor who was under a constant attack because he would not prosecute the police officer, Darren Wilson, who shot to death Michael Brown. This was the hands up, don't shoot. Remember, became it was quickly discovered to be a lie. So then it became Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter as a concept bubbled along. And then with the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, it exploded, and black people are going around saying, black writers are going around now saying it's the largest protests in the history of America, maybe, I don't know. I thought the protests about the Vietnam War were pretty good, but anyway. That white prosecutor was replaced by a black prosecutor. 6 years down the road, it turns out the black prosecutor has been investigating the case of Michael Brown's shooting death by the police officer, Darren Wilson. And yesterday he had to announce that there will not be a prosecution. It was a legitimate shooting. So the Obama Justice Department determined it was a legitimate shooting, that Michael Brown was in the wrong. The DA at the time determined the same thing. And now the DA, 6 years later, who happens to be black, has determined that it was Michael Brown in the wrong. It was Michael Brown assaulting the police officer. It was a police officer defending himself from Michael Brown, who tried to take his weapon away to shoot him. And crickets, you know, instead we have Obama at the John Lewis funeral saying some really, really nutso things.
He knew that the march is not over, that the race is not yet won, that we have not yet reached that blessed destination where we are judged by the content of our character.
Not the color of our skin. That blessed destination where we are judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. Today we have Beyonce announcing her new movie. Nobody knows what's in it, but they're telling us it's going to be great. Black is King, it's called. You can just imagine what it would be like to be making a movie now called White is King. We're told constantly that white is the problem. The color of the skin, white, is the problem. That blessed destination has, in fact, not been reached. And Obama said something else. It was just, pardon me, those people who don't like me to say this, it was just fucking crazy. Just crazy.
George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Yeah. Yeah. Applaud for that line. Applaud for that lie. Andy Ngo is actually witnessing what goes on in Portland every night.
So day after day now for more than 2 months, we're having people carry out daily violent protests, and it's been getting worse in that the weapons have been they're moving now to potentially kill and maim federal officers.
Oh, wait a minute. Andy, are you telling me that the peaceful protesters that Barack Obama referred to are carrying weapons?
So a lot of the weapons are intentionally designed to look innocuous, things like water balloons or water bottles or laser sticks. These lasers are unregulated, and they buy them through eBay or from China or other websites, and they're very high-powered in that they're meant to actually blind and damage the eyes. I've had them directed at me in the course of my undercover work. You can't see anything when one is directed at you, much less a dozen of them. And the water balloons are filled with things such as paint. It's used to blind police, and then may remove a helmet or they can't see. And then if they remove a helmet, then somebody else will launch a ball bearing from a slingshot at them. This week, there was some type of IED that was done at the front of the Portland Federal Courthouse, and the explosion could actually be heard from blocks away.
Yeah. Right. Bull Connor is gone. George Wallace is gone. But now we have a president sending out federal agents, according to Barack Obama, to use tear gas and batons against peaceful protesters who are trying to blind and even kill federal agents. You know, yesterday after Obama spoke, Twitter and Facebook exploded in rhapsodies, in ecstasies. Oh, it's so great to see him back. God, I miss that guy. Boy, can he speak. You know, I think these people love silence. Obama's style is blah, 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 pause, blah, 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 pause, blah, 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 pause. I watched him yesterday with the sound down for a lot of it. And you can just see it. You can see him talking and stop, make this face, look around the room, refer to his speech, start again. Just spit it out. Okay, so the feds in Portland reach an agreement with the Portland State Police, that is the governor, Katie Brown, and the Portland mayor, whatever her name is, that they would allow the state police and the city police of Portland to take over for the feds. And the feds said, if you stop this, we'll let you do it. But if the federal courthouse is still under attack, we're going to step in. So Chad Wolf, how did it go last night?
It worked fairly well. What we saw is we saw a robust contingent of Oregon State Police come into the area yesterday afternoon. Together with Portland Police Bureau, they cleaned out the parks across the street from the courthouse. And what we saw overnight is almost little to no criminal activity. And that really is how it should be.
Okay. Well, there was this one problem. It was a couple nights ago. Maybe this will actually stop. There's a black guy who has been at these protests. He's a Trump supporter, and he was stabbed by one of these Antifas.
And so I remember getting up after I hit the ground from falling and looking at him specifically, and I saw the knife that he had in his hand, son, and it appeared to be about 7 inches. And so I just remember thinking I had to keep pressure on my wound and try to get somewhere safe. One of my guys that I was with stepped in between us, and he told the guy that I was with, "Do you want to get shanked next too?
You want to get shanked next too?" These were the people that the Portland police and the state police in Oregon were protecting by not enforcing the law around the federal building until the pressure from the feds became so great. They said, okay, we'll do it. We'll go in. And huge numbers of them, many more than the feds had on site. The other thing that's going on is there's, you know, the left is all tweaked up. I didn't want that coming on quite yet. They're all tweaked up about Trump saying, you know, there might have to be a delay in the election because of these mail-in ballots. And, you know, I do have a problem with these mail-in ballots. And what we're talking about here is the ballots that are ballots that you didn't request. Ballots that just show up in the mail and sending out millions of them. Now, I know that Trump cannot delay the presidential election. I mean, local elections can be delayed, but what the Constitution says, the president and the vice president shall be elected on the second Tuesday of November. That's it. And the question, though, in Trump's tweet that really does mean something is this effort to send out huge numbers of mail-in ballots just blindly to whatever address is on the registrar of voters and without any indication that the person still lives there or that the person is still alive.
The president yesterday brought the whole nation's attention to the catastrophic problem of universal mail-in ballots. Nobody who mails in a ballot has their identity confirmed. Nobody checks to see if they're even a U.S. citizen. Think about that. Any foreign national, talk about foreign election interference, can mail in a ballot and nobody even verifies if they're a citizen of the United States of America. Now, this would be happening on a scale of potentially millions of people. In fact, in the Democrats' Heroes Act, the bill that was supposed to be for coronavirus relief, they actually have a provision in there barring voter identification as part of any mail-in balloting. That is insane.
It is insane. That's Stephen Miller, the much-hated Trump advisor. And, you know, Jennifer Granholm, who used to be the Michigan governor, has since moved out to L.A. and has gotten in deep with all the lefties in California. Is typical of what's going on the left, and this panic that Trump is going to try to cancel the election and take over like some sort of banana republic
dictator.
What if
Trump foments right-wing provocateurs and then sends out the military to put out the fire he created?
Oh,
what if he seizes the ballot boxes?
Oh,
what's the strategy
God.
To de-escalate protests?
Oh,
what do
God.
State elections officials do now to give the public the assurance that vote by mail is safe and doesn't inspire fraud?
Yep.
What do state elections officials do now if he defunds the post office, for example?
If he defunds the post office. I mean, the post office is funded at the moment, but apparently they can't figure out in the New York elections, which I think are 6 weeks old and they still don't know the winners. Apparently the post office isn't postmarking mail-in ballots with a date and time or date. So you don't know if the mail-in ballot, nobody knows if the mail-in ballot was mailed, if the vote was cast on time. You can't use a mail-in ballot to vote the day after the election. You can't use a mail-in ballot to vote a week after the election. But because the post office doesn't postmark it anymore with the date, how are they supposed to know? And because of this, the Democrats are counting on being able to delay the results of the election.
And folks need to wake up to the fact that we're probably, barring a blowout, are not going to know who won the election, election night or election morning. It's going to take time to process these votes. That leaves open a major window for chaos, particularly if the president is the one stirring the pots.
You know, it's particularly if you're stirring the pot. Look, we had this before. The 2000 election was really close, and they had litigated everything that went on in Florida. But what he's really talking about is we're not going to allow a winner to be declared if it's close until we can get in and litigate all these ballots we've been stuffing the ballot box with, make sure that they're counted. And it's not like this has never come up before. I mean, it was only, you know, a few years ago in Hurricane Sandy when the left in the form of MSNBC was talking about how an election could be delayed.
Look, there is some precedent to this. During 9/11, on 9/11 right. was the New York City mayoral race, and they delayed everything. You know, it would have to be up to a local authority to do that. But that local authority, I mean, I think, look, you're going to be getting into all sorts of provisional ballot issues. I think that's the more likely scenario. You don't postpone the day itself, but maybe you expand the types of ballots. Maybe you're more lenient on checking people in, but forcing provisional votes. So it's going to take longer to verify the voters and all of those things. So I think that that's the most likely scenario.
When it's going to work in their favor, they're all for it. When it might work against them, they hate it. Nancy Pelosi is having to justify why she is standing in the way of the next relief package. She wants it to be $3 trillion. The Republicans in the Senate want it to be $1 trillion. She's holding the line, and you get stuff like this.
There's some things in your bill that's not directly related to COVID, like they're talking about cannabis or the salt reduction. Are those things that you're willing to also strip out of the bill?
Well, I don't agree with you that cannabis is not related to this. This is a therapy.
I remember the other day when I played this interview with Craig Melvin at MSNBC and a Georgia Democrat, black state legislature representative. And because the guy was a Trump supporter, Craig Melvin at MSNBC had to ask him, well, are you being paid by Trump? It went like this.
If you look at the unemployment among African Americans during his years and during Obama years, clearly it was much better.
Are you a paid campaign surrogate? Are you being compensated?
Let me be clear. You get paid to shape a liberal narrative. You get paid to attack this president.
I don't get a dime
for this president. I don't get a dime from the campaign. Everything I've done has been me and based on my principles.
Well, his name is Vernon Jones. I didn't know this the other day, and I apologize, but he's getting to be kind of famous because of that interview.
I was surprised, but at the same time, I know it's very widespread throughout the liberal media and throughout the Democratic Party that African-Americans with independent voices, with conservative leanings, there's no place for them, and they're pushed out. And when you attempt to come off that plantation, they use their agent provocateurs to whip you back on, call you a sellout, get you to try to shame you as if you're being paid. You've been paid 30 pieces of silver. It's just outrageous. It's just crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, look, that's how it works over there. Go off the reservation and boom, they're all over you. Oh, China gives us coronavirus. China has been ripping us off in trade deals. China is trying to take over the Pacific Ocean. China, according to Mike Pompeo, is the Chinese Communist Party, he said just yesterday, is the biggest threat to the United States. And this is Dianne Feinstein, senator from California.
We hold China as a potential trading partner, as a country that has pulled tens of millions of people out of poverty in a short period of time, and as a country growing into a respectable nation among other nations.
I
deeply believe that.
Let me see. Okay. She was the one who drove around with a Chinese spy as her driver for 20 years. And when the FBI discovered it, did they open an investigation into Dianne Feinstein like they did into Donald Trump? No. They called her up and said, you have a spy as your driver. And she said, oh, okay, fine. I'll fire him now. 20 years he drove around listening to her in the back seat. Just insane. I mean, I remember when she wasn't insane, when she was the mayor of San Francisco, and I was a street reporter there, and I remember very clearly how she stood up to the people operating the bathhouses where AIDS was being spread and closed the bathhouses. Very unpopular in San Francisco at that time. I remember her reinforcing the concrete canopy at Candlestick that would have come crashing down in an earthquake, killing thousands of people. Those are 100-ton canopies. And somebody said, you know, the steel holding them up is rusted. They're going to give way. And she said, fix it. No blue ribbon commission, no nothing. Fix it. The very next thing that happened was the 89 earthquake at Candlestick. But I don't know what's happened to her since then. I really don't. I have no idea what's going on with her. Okay, so let's see. There's one other thing I wanted to bring up. No, that's it. So let me check the mail, see if anybody said anything to me that was interesting. Boy, it didn't look like it. Well, here's my friend Damon. And he sends me a message. Somebody's Christmas tour is being canceled because of coronavirus. Okay. Here's Jonna. Khalil's commentary on this show gives me chills. It's how so many of us feel. Are we witnessing the end of America's life as we known it? Can we do anything about it? Yeah, you can vote. That's about it. Let's see. No, that's pretty much it. So let's see what's in the bitch box at 859-544-2766.
Alexandria Cortez is a bitch.
Oh, that's Drew. I didn't edit that call. That is it in its entirety. Complete.
Hey, John, this is Neil. Not really bitching. Just wanted to get packing up, getting ready to head to God's country and land of my birth. And I promise every time to see a sign that says John Muir Wilderness, I'm going to kiss it and thank the racist bastard for the wonderful legacy he left for all of us. Take care, buddy. Bye.
The John Muir Wilderness. Okay, it's that point of the program where...
Leroy, I got to call you so much, man. Beat my ass up, man.
Hey, old John, it's me.
Man, there's so much shit in the news.
Yeah, it's time for Khalil and his 4 minutes of funk. He's out there driving that truck trying to get you some toilet paper, man.
That's black.
Hey, old snowman, it's me. Yo, tell me this. Why am I seeing a whole bunch of old people out here without a face mask on? You know? I mean, even I'm down to putting a mask on, you know. But, I mean, I'm seeing the same old people are doing the same shit they was doing before the virus hit. Man walked out the bathroom yesterday, didn't even wash his hands. I had to stand there for about 2 minutes before somebody opened the damn door. But I wasn't touching his junk. You know, you got particle matters on your hand, and then you don't put it on the doorknob. I'm not touching it, not even with another rag or nothing. I don't know what you got, and I'm not gonna. I done made it all my life without an STD. I'm not gonna get one now just because somebody don't want to wash their hands. Then I'm standing up at the counter buying my stuff, and this old lady, she was just. I mean, just old and big. And she gonna stand up so close behind me, damn, I was almost like able to feel her breath on my damn back of my neck. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And she didn't have a mask on. I'm like, hey, can you back up a little bit? Damn. So she wouldn't move. So I threw a Hostess cupcake on the floor at the six foot mark. And that took care of her big ass. She wasn't going to stay around me that long. But I'm just trying to just say, also the coronavirus. I know what I was going to tell you. Man, did you hear the fact that they say that married couples live longer or have a better survivability rate through coronavirus than single people? And I was like, wow. Are you telling me that women can nag the coronavirus away from a man? That is wonderful, man. Did you realize that? That's what they're saying. Now, that was the doctor. Doctor said women nag the coronavirus away from a man, and he is able to live. So, I guess my point of the day is, go out there and get married, and you won't have to worry about the coronavirus. Your wife have too much shit around the house for you to do for the coronavirus to kill you. You'll be praying for the coronavirus to kill you after you have all those damn honey-do lists that you have every weekend. No football, no basketball, no sports to watch. Oh my God, this is a porn for women, isn't it? Jesus, man. You can turn around and she's like, oh, we're going to go to the pottery and we're going to fix the yard and we're going to this, that, that. You've been begging for damn coronavirus. Jesus, coronavirus. Come kid me. I can't stand this shit. I ain't got no football, basketball, baseball. A motherfucker's about ready to watch soccer. Man. Was it Snowman? Happy belated birthday to Miss Susan Gibson. I see she's keeping you alive, Snowman. She's doing, just by being with you, she's doing you a favor. But look here. You know what time it is? We got Christy and Grace. We're always keeping them in prayer. But Ryan Koss is really sick. And so, everybody, please keep them in your prayers and your thoughts. Leroy!
Leroy, come on.
Hey!
Hey!
Come on, motherfucker.
Let's go.
Yeah. I figured we're going to go somewhere special, somewhere you're going to probably like. We're going to go down to Alabama, go look at some of the cotton fields. Let's go, Negro. Beat me up, motherfucker. Yo, Snowman, peace.
All right. Okay, so the birthday guy, by the way, if you'd like to call the bitch box and be on with Khalil, it's 859-544-2766. So the birthday guy is, his name is Hugh McDowell. Today was his birthday. He died in 2018 at the age of 65. He was born in 1953. He was a cellist with Electric Light Orchestra, Jeff Lynne's band. And I just love ELO. And he, you know, he was a, I think in the video for this song, you can see him when Jeff Lynne sings, running down the street, you see him running across the stage with his cello. I think that's him. In any case, Hugh McDowell, and the song is Mr. Blue Sky.
And is some place to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody's positive.
I love ELO. Oh my god, they're so great. So great. You Alexander McDowell. One of the two cellists that Jeff Lynne used in Electric Light Orchestra. Okay, so this is a test. I saved this for the end because it's kind of, it's going to violate somebody's language rules. There's this great woman in Britain named Katie Hopkins. I mean, she's been canceled by everybody. Her opinions are just not allowed anymore. But somebody sent me this, and it was Katie Hopkins on a British TV show. Being asked by a pompous host why she supported Donald Trump when Donald Trump was such a crashing bore and sexist. And it did not go well for the host.
Can I ask you, is there any part of you as a mother of two daughters I'm kind of thinking just for a moment about this. That this is the man who talked about grabbing women by the pussy. Is there any point, a part of you that feels this is not my guy? I don't want this guy to be talking like this about any woman at all. Do you not despair for the future in any ways?
Sweetie, I would rather be grabbed by the pussy than have a pussy for president.
There we go, the great Katie Hopkins. All right, write to me at hostofjohngibson.com. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio. And don't forget, call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766. Tell your friends, it's Free Friday. Go to John Gibson Radio on Facebook, and your friends can listen to this show today for free.